Hello everyone. You are listening to the Creative Biolabs podcast. We provide reliable exosome-related services and products to clients around the world. Our services cover all aspects of exosome isolation and purification, identification, antibody, and engineering.
Dear friends in the audience, welcome to another edition of our program. I'm Connie. I am here today with our old friend Dr. Hofstadter to the program to explore more characteristics of tumor exosomes in metastasis. Dr. Hofstadter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your invitation, Connie. I'm very glad to be here.
So in the last episode, we mainly discussed the role of tumor exosomes in regulating fibroblast behavior during metastasis. And we concluded that tumor exosomes can mediate the interaction between cancer cells and stromal fibroblasts to enhance tumor invasion and metastasis. Today, let's turn to endothelial and bone marrow-derived cells. Previous studies have shown that soluble angiogenic factors secreted by tumor cells and other stromal cells can induce angiogenesis. But we see increasing evidence showing that molecules transmitted through exosomes can also promote the proangiogenic response of endothelial cells. So, Dr. Hofstadter, maybe you could give us some color on what are the molecules?
No problem. The brief answer is these stimulating effector molecules transmitted include lipids, membrane-bound factors, and soluble factors, as well as genetic material. Certain types of lipids are relatively high in exosomes compared to the plasma membrane. These include sphingomyelin, cholesterol, and phosphatidylserine. Sphingomyelin has been reported to be the main active component in human fibrosarcoma and prostate cancer-derived exosomes. It has the functions of inducing endothelial cell migration, morphogenesis, and neovascularization in vivo. Sphingomyelin levels were significantly elevated in highly metastatic cancer cells compared with fewer metastatic variants. So you could understand why scientists take priority to determine whether exosomal sphingomyelin-mediated angiogenesis contributes to the high metastatic potential of these cells.
Yeah, now I get it. And I'm curious, how do tumor-derived exosomes regulate endothelial cell behavior to induce angiogenesis?
Two processes are mainly involved. One is that tumor-derived exosomes encapsulate angiogenic factors and release them into the tumor microenvironment. For example, elevated amounts of VEGFs have been detected in human ovarian cancer-derived microvesicles. And also, they are released when acidic pH induces vesicle rupture, which is characteristic of the tumor microenvironment. As a result, the availability of VEGFs released from vesicles significantly stimulated endothelial cell mobility. Another is that tumor exosomes contain multiple membrane-bound proteins that play a key role in promoting angiogenesis. Active oncogenic endothelial growth factor receptors have been reported to transfer to endothelial cells in vitro and in vivo human squamous cell carcinoma models. This activates not only the MAPK and AKT signaling pathways, but also autocrine VEGF production in endothelial cells.
I remember we discussed before that tetraspanins are building blocks of exosomes. The expression of tetraspanins seems to correlate with the metastatic phenotype in gastrointestinal model patients, does it?
Exactly. Using a rat pancreatic cancer line overexpressing the tetraspanin SPAN8 as a model, the researchers explored the specific effects of tumor-derived SPAN8 containing exosomes on endothelial cells. This study shows that SPAN8 can specifically recruit integrin CD49D and vascular cell adhesion molecules to exosomes. This allows exosomes to bind to endothelial cells and be internalized. In addition to recruiting receptors such as CD49D and CD106 into exosomes, SPAN8 also contributes to the selective packaging of messenger RNAs and cytokines into exosomes. Some of these molecules may play a role in angiogenesis, such as FGFBP1, and growth and differentiation factor 3. Collectively, ingestion of TSPAN8-containing exosomes induced angiogenesis in aortic endothelial cells, including enhanced proliferation, migration, sprouting, and maturation of endothelial progenitor cells. Additionally, this phenomenon was accompanied by the upregulation of several angiogenesis-related genes.
By what pathway do endothelial progenitor cell-derived microvesicles activate the angiogenic program in endothelial cells?
Well, it involves the horizontal transfer of messenger RNA. You know, one similar function of tumor exosomes is to target cells through the selective recruitment and delivery of a set of angiogenesis-related messenger RNAs and microRNAs. As an example, CD105-positive human renal cancer cells release microvesicles containing angiogenesis-related factors and matrix metalloproteinase messenger RNA. However, the functional contribution of these exosome-packaged messenger RNAs and microRNAs to angiogenesis requires further validation.
Together, what role do you think the relationship between tumor-derived exosomes and endothelial cells plays in metastasis?
Well, in my view, these studies demonstrate that tumor exosomes are critical for driving pro-angiogenic responses in endothelial cells. You know, this promotes activation, proliferation, and maturation of endothelial cells during metastasis. And surface molecules such as exosomal tetraspanins and endothelial membrane receptors appear to be the major molecules involved in regulating these mechanisms. Anyway, I think the focus of future research will be on uncovering these mechanisms and facilitating the identification of new targets. After all, it is important to prevent the cooperation between tumor cells and endothelial exosomes in the process of metastasis.
I agree. Okay, Dr. Hofstadter, let's talk about the role of tumor exosomes in regulating the behavior of bone marrow-derived cells during metastasis. I know bone marrow-derived cells are divided into many subgroups. Which one is our focus today?
I think we could start with the myeloid-derived suppressor cell population, because it's the most extensively studied subset of bone marrow-derived cells affected by tumor-derived exosomes during tumor progression and metastasis. Under normal physiological conditions, myeloid-derived suppressor cells are an immature and heterogeneous population. They can differentiate into mature granulocytes, macrophages, and dendritic cells. Bone marrow cell differentiation is partially blocked under pathological conditions such as cancer. This leads to an expansion of the immature myeloid-derived suppressor cell population.
This makes me think, how do immature suppressor cells affect tumor progression?
Great question. Actually, these immature myeloid-derived suppressor cells have been found to negatively regulate immune responses by suppressing T-cell responses in the cancer environment. Mechanisms of myeloid-derived suppressor cell expansion during tumor progression are thought to include the secretion of soluble factors. These factors include VEGFS, colony-stimulating factor 1, IL-6, prostaglandin E2, and granulocyte macrophage colony-stimulating tumor cytokines.
Recent studies have shown that tumor exosomes can play a key role in the myeloid-derived suppressor cell phenotype. Can you explain more specifically?
Sure. In detail, breast cancer cell-derived tumor exosomes can be taken up by BM myeloid cells. This results in the impaired ability of immature myeloid cells to differentiate into functional anti-tumor dendritic cells, promoting tumor growth. Tumor-derived exosomes also play a role in the activation of myeloid-derived suppressor cells and trigger their immunosuppressive functions by autocrine production of some inflammatory factors. It has been suggested that the effect of tumor-derived exosomes on myeloid-derived suppressor cells depends on the activation of the TLR2 to STAT3 pathway. However, I don't think in vitro models of exosome function always accurately reflect in vivo conditions. And we should consider this fact in interpreting the role of exosomes in tumor biology.
As far as I know, myeloid-derived suppressor cells are also important for promoting tumor angiogenesis, cell invasion, and metastasis. What mechanisms are involved in this?
I think, generally speaking, two aspects are involved. One is that the infiltration of myeloid-derived suppressor cells at the tumor invasion front promotes tumor angiogenesis. And the other is to promote tumor cell invasion and metastasis by producing various cytokines. The results showed that melanoma and breast cancer exosomes significantly increased the recruitment of myeloid-derived suppressor cells to the lung. This mobilization of myeloid-derived suppressor cells to metastatic organs is associated with a marked acceleration of tumor metastasis. Interestingly, these effects highlight a general role of inflammation in a mouse model of impaired inflammatory response. In particular, the role of MyD88 in the recruitment of myeloid-derived suppressor cells by tumor exosomes.
We all know that specific subsets of bone marrow-derived cells play a significant role in promoting neovascularization during tumor growth and metastasis. Moreover, endothelial progenitor cells have been shown to move from the bone marrow niche into the peripheral circulation and differentiate into endothelial cells, which then contribute to the formation of new blood vessels. Can you be specific about the critical role of endothelial progenitor cells and their differentiated endothelial cells in cancer progression?
Sure. First, I want to highlight their responses to various stress and trauma signals associated with ischemic conditions, trauma, and tissue damage such as chemotherapy. Additionally, they can be mobilized from the bone marrow by tumor growth. Different studies using animal models of cancer have demonstrated the critical role of these cells in cancer progression. I mean, blocking endothelial progenitor cell mobilization in the bone marrow resulted in a dramatic reduction in tumor growth and vasculature development. You know, notably, the arrival of endothelial progenitor cells at metastatic sites and their differentiation into mature endothelial cells may be key determinants of progression from micrometastases to macrometastatic lesions.
Okay. I was wondering if we have any studies involving the direct effects of tumor-derived exosomes on endothelial progenitor cells.
Unfortunately, only a few studies have investigated microvesicles and exosomes secreted by non-tumor cells and their ability to reprogram endothelial progenitor cells to a proangiogenic phenotype. And, I have to admit that none of the studies have addressed the direct effects of tumor-derived exosomes on endothelial progenitor cells. The good news is that it is reasonable to speculate that tumor exosomes can promote the recruitment of endothelial progenitor cells to the tumor and metastatic sites through direct interactions. Also, they may act as paracrine mediators in a metastatic setting. However, we have much work to do to elucidate the mechanisms driving this critical interaction during metastasis.
I know some recent advances have been made in understanding the role of tumor exosomes in metastasis and the interaction between tumor and myeloid cells. However, we seem to know little about the role of tumor exosomes in regulating tumor invasion and angiogenesis. Dr. Hofstadter, do you think so?
Yeah, I can't agree more. For example, the EMT regulatory program is an important mediator of invasion and metastasis. However, it's undetermined whether exosomes contribute to EMT. I know some researchers have performed proteomic analysis on the combination of exosomes and soluble factors that induce EMT by RAS transformation. And the results showed that a variety of proteases were upregulated during epithelial transformation and mesenchymal migration. So I think whether exosomes act as carriers of these molecules to regulate the EMT process will be an important direction of future research. And it is worth noting that so far, all studies on exosomes have used exosomes harvested from cultured tumor cells.
So, what factors may affect the composition and function of tumor exosomes, especially their contribution to metastasis?
Well, it's hard to tell, as this may be affected by many factors encountered by tumor cells in vivo. For example, hypoxia can stimulate glioblastoma cells to express significantly higher levels of tissue factors. These factors are released through exosomes to trigger the angiogenic phenotype in endothelial cells. Tumors develop through mutual signal transduction between tumor cells and the microenvironment. What I am trying to say is that this process may lead to molecular differential recruitment into tumor exosomes. You know, there are data to support this. According to the results, in the exosomes collected from the plasma of patients with melanoma, the exosomal protein level of each particle will increase as the disease progresses to a more advanced stage. In addition, when co-cultured with tumor-infiltrating leukocytes, exocrines secreted by breast cancer cells carry a high level of fibronectin. This enhances the invasion of tumor cells. Therefore, I think malignant cell behavior may be related to the increased packaging of proteins and other molecules on exosomes.
Okay. Maybe one last question. Can the heterogeneity of tumor cells in vivo produce exosomes that carry different goods and perform different functions?
Absolutely. For example, exosomes released by CD105-positive, rather than CD105-negative, human renal tumor-initiating cells trigger angiogenesis and pre-metastatic niche formation. Therefore, I think analyzing the interaction between tumor cells and their related environment, and how it affects exosome behavior, is important to fully understand the functional role of tumor exosomes in each stage of metastasis.
I see. Okay, I think that's a great place to close. Dr. Hofstadter, I want to thank you for all your wonderful insights and popularization. And until our next episode, I thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Connie. I hope to speak to you next time.